This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch Haba, welcome everyone. This is the second to last year for Purim. The penultimate shir before Purim. And if you've been following the shir every year, we have an annual Rav Yonasan Eibeshit shir. We've already established the klal. You can't have Purim without Rav Yonasan Eibeshit. So here we are. We have very exciting information. And we begin with a pasuk in Megillas Esther, in number one, in Perek Dalet, pasuk Yud Zayin. The pasuk says, Vayavar Mordechai. Mordechai was over. He passed over. Esther, and he did everything that Esther commanded him. Her commanded him. Vayavar Mordechai. Mordechai was over. He passed over. He crossed over. What does this pasuk mean? What did he pass over? What did he cross over? So you have a machloikis Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara Megillah Daf Tezvav. Says the Gemara Vayavar Mordechai Amar Rav Shehever Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Tainis. He violated the first day of Pesach by fasting. He fasted on the first day of Pesach. Of course, on every Yom Tov you need to eat. And Mordechai violated the first day of Pesach by fasting. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel said, Da'avar Arkuma D'maya. He passed over, he crossed over a river of water. Very interesting. So Rav holds that he violated Pesach, and Shmuel says he crossed over a river. Now, I would say like this. There's another sheet over here. I would say, Bishlam, according to Rav, I understand why the Pasuk in the Megillah is telling me that Mordechai violated. That's certainly something of note. That's something very noteworthy to know that Mordechai, in following the directive of Esther, right? Esther said, look, we got to gather all the Jews together. We need to fast for 3 days. That Mordechai followed the orders of Esther and he fasted even on Pesach. This is certainly of note. But Shmuel says, Avar Arkuma Demaya, he passed over a river? I mean, the obvious question is, who cares? Who cares he crossed over a river? What difference does it make? Why in the world would the Megillah make note of the fact that Mordechai crossed over a river? Maybe he also stepped over a rock. I mean, maybe he gently stepped over a leaf that fell on the floor. Who cares that he crossed over a river? Well, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in the Yaros Davash and Chilek Beis, he asked the Yesh Lahavin, number 300 sheet, Ma Bikesh HaMegillah HaShmiyana, what's the Megillah trying to teach? Now, Rabbi said, to me, this whole thing sounds like Purim Torah. I mean, why did Mordechai cross the river? Look at Rashi, Davar Kor Demaya, Lesef HaYehudim Shebev Rasheni. Why did Mordechai cross the river? To get to the other side. Very good. That's the, you know, we don't even have to do, why? How do you know Achashverosh was hard of hearing? Who? Achashverosh, forget that. I have much better Purim Torah. Why did Mordechai cross the river? To get to the other side. Wow, mamish goinistika Torah here, right? What in the world is the Gemara saying? Shmuel says, "Vayavar Mordechai." Mordechai crossed over the river. Why? To gather the Jews on the other side. You're kidding me? I didn't realize he crossed over the river to get to the second side. One of the well-known psukim in the Megillah, Ish Yehudi Haya, where? B'Shushan Habira. There was a Jew in Shushan Habira. Where? Really? There was a Jew in Shushan Habira? There were many Jews in Shushan Habira. There were thousands of Jews. That's the whole Purim story. Good morning, Shushan. There's a Jew in Shushan Habira. I mean, that's the whole story. Or the Ve'ayir Shushan. Salah v'sameicha. Ve'ayir Shushan. Ahavaicha. That's the whole story. I mean, what in the world is Megillah saying? There was a Jew in Shushan. The whole Jewish community lived in Shushan. The whole neighborhood lived in Shushan. That was the borough park back then. Shushan. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. Comes the Medrash, and the Medrash says that he's called Yehudi. But there's a klal in Tanakh that the letter He and the letter Ches are interchangeable. The letter He and the letter Ches are interchangeable. Need some. Save me some, right? The letter He and the letter Ches are interchangeable. Right? You have an Aleph, you have a He, you have an Ayin, you have a Ches. They're interchangeable. So the word Yehudi could be read, what? Yechidi. Yechidi. So what does that mean? Ish Yechidi Haya B'Shushan Abira. There was one Jew in Shushan. There's one Jew. Now, not only are we saying that the Megillah is making note of the fact that there was a Jew in Shushan, it says, there was one Jew in Shushan. One Jew? So what's V'hoyer Shushan? So I love V'samecha. What's V'hoyer Shushan Navaycha? What does that mean? He's called Ishihudi Ishihidi? Now the Mishnah, in Masech the Megillah, Daf Yotes, brings the three-way machlokes as how much of the Megillah do you need to read? How much of the Megillah do you need to read? Says the Mishnah, Umehechan Kari Adam as the Megillah. Look at number 6. Megillah Daf Yotes. Where should a person read the Megillah from? Number 1, Rameir Oymer Kula. Rameir says you need to read the whole Megillah. You need to read the whole Megillah. That's how we paskin, by the way. Even though normally we don't paskin like Rameir. Rameir was the greatest of all the Tanoim, but he was so deep nobody could comprehend him. Right? But in this instance, interestingly, we paskin like Rameir. Rav Yehuda Omer, Meyesh Yehudi. Rav Yehuda says you don't have to read from the beginning. We don't care about Achashverosh's power. We don't care about his party. All you need to do is read from Ish Yehudi. Rav Yossi Omer, Me'achar Hadvarim Ho'ela. Right? Achar Hadvarim Ho'ela, Gidal Hamelch Achashverosh Es Haman. Then the Gemara brings a fourth opinion. Rav Shimar Yechoy Omer, Mi Balaylahu. Says Rabbi Yochanan, all these four opinions, they learn it out from the same source. From the Pasuk, Vatichtoiv, Esther, Hamalka, Umardechai, Hayehudi, Eskol, Toikev, right? Vatichtoiv, Esther, Hamalka, Umardechai, Hayehudi, Eskol, Toikev. Eskol, Toikev. Do they have the tissue box? Eskol, Toikev. Thank you. So, says the Gemara, Eskol, Toikev, whose power? They wrote down all the toikef. Whose power do they record? Says the Gemara. Man da amar kula. The opinion that holds you have to lay in the whole Megillah. Toikfo shal Achashverosh. You need to read about the strength of Achashverosh. O man da amar me Yeshihudi. The opinion in the Gemara that you only have to read from Yeshihudi. Toikfo shal Mordechai. You only need to read about the strength of Mordechai. So according to the opinion that holds, you only have to read from Yeshihudi. You read from Yeshihudi. Why? You have to learn about the toikef of Mordechai, the power of Mordechai. So that's a reason to learn from Ish Yehudi? How in the pasuk of Ish Yehudi do you see anything about the toikef of Mordechai? You see anything about how strong or great or powerful Mordechai is? Because there's a pasuk, there was a Jew in Shushan. How does this illustrate the greatness of Mordechai HaTzadik? The power of Mordechai HaTzadik? Okay, so we have a number of questions on the table. Mordechai crossed the river. Who cares? Mordechai lived in Shushan. All the Jews lived in Shushan. And then we have an opinion. You need to start laying the Megillah from Ish Yehudi. Why? You have to know everything about the Toikef, the power of Mordechai. How do you see from this pasuk of the power of Mordechai? Okay. What is really the main offering for tonight is the following observation. 19 times in Megillah Esther, you have a reference to the city that the story took place in, which of course is Shushan. 10 times it's written one way, 9 times it's written a different way. How's that? 10 times in Megillas Esther, it's written Shushan Habira. Yeah? I'm practicing. Asher b'Shushan Habira. Yeah? Asher b'Shushan Habira. Fine. That's the number 7. And then, when the days were over, Asa Amelech L'chol Ha'amanim Sim, where? V'Shushan Habira. Shushan Habira again. V'Yafked Ha'amelech Pekidit. Right? L'chol Medina Zanzav V'Yizul Nar V'Suot Tazah El Shushan Habira. Nachamo Shushan Habira. Okay, that's the name of the city. What? Then you come to when Haman and Achashverosh issue the edict. Look at number 10. Pashegen Hakasav. The edict is issued. Okay, so far so good. No? Shushan. And not Shushan Habira. Vasketan, why Shushan and not Shushan Habira? It lost its name. It lost the Bira part. What happened? Va'ir Shushan. Everywhere until now, it's Shushan Abira, Shushan Abira. All of a sudden, in the same pasuk, you have two different names of the city. The first time it's Shushan Abira, and then it's just Shushan. And this is the question of the Sefer Sifsei Chachamim on Masechta Megillah. On Masechta Megillah. Okay. By the way, if I'm singing, that means I'm starting to get comfortable over here. Usually I'm much worse, so I'm just starting. Okay.
Who wrote the Sifsei Chachamim?
Who wrote it? You can't ask questions I don't know the answer to. Okay. Look at number 12. One of the Achronim. Not so long ago. Look at number 12. So we have Megillas Esther, Perek Daled, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says, Lech Kenoises Kol HaYehudim HaNimtzayim B'Shushan. Yeah, go gather all the Jews that are found in Shushan. Again, doesn't say Shushan HaBira. Okay, V'Tzumo Alai V'Al Toichlu V'Al Tishtu Shloish Es Yomim Laila V'Yom. So sometimes Shushan HaBira and sometimes Shushan. Now interesting, I want to focus your attention. Look back at number 8. When Achashverosh made the party, Asa Hamelech L'cholam Hanimtzim B'Shushan Habira. What do you mean Hanimtzim B'Shushan Habira? That are found? Usually people are only found if they're lost. It should say L'cholam Hagorim Hayoshvim Hadorim. What's Hanimtzim that are found? What does that mean? What do you mean they're found? Okay. Look at number 13. When the good news happens and Haman is... Now this, we're going to give you a little English lesson just to take a little brief interruption. So now you have a picture. You move into a house. You take the picture. And what do you do to the picture? The picture is... No?
Hung.
Not hanged. Don't be an Amoritz. The picture is hung. But if you take a guy, Saddam Hussein was
hanged,
not hung. There's a difference between a gavra and a chefza. A gavra is hanged, a chefza is hung. Okay? A gavra is hanged, a chefza is hung. Important to know. So, Haman was hanged. They took Haman, they hanged him. So the pasuk says, V'hados nidna, look at number 13, B'shushan habira, the edict was in Shushan habira. And then Umar the Chayatul Ne'amelch Levush Malchus Chela Sechur Vater Zavgav Ve'ayir Shushan. There is Shushan and not Shushan Habira. So we have a little bit of a confusion here. 10 times in Megillas Esther it's Shushan HaBira. 9 times it's Shushan. Okay.
It was called Yom Tov Shushan Purim, not Shushan Habira Purim.
Shushan Purim, not Shushan Habira Purim. Okay, we'll think about that one. Okay. Listen to this. Look in the end of, look at number 14. This is a very difficult incident at the end of the Megillah. So Achashverosh tells Esther, here, take Haman's house, take his possessions, and do with him whatever you want. So the pasuk says that in Shushan HaBira, Horgu HaYehudim V'Yabed, they murdered and they destroyed, Chamesh Me'osish, 500 people, and the 10 sons of Haman, Parshandasa, Dafan, Azosa, Rasa, and so on and so forth, Aseres B'nei Haman, fine. So then after the Jews killed their enemies in Shushan HaBira, it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bayoim Ahu, they counted all the slain in Shushan HaBira, and the king says to Esther, then in Shushan HaBira they killed 500 people, now Aseres B'nei Haman, what would you like, honey? Whatever you want, I'll give you a request. So Esther says, V'atomer Esther, Im ala melech toiv, yinosein gam mochar la Yehudim asher b'shushan. Tomorrow, let the Jews in Shushan do lasos kedas hayom, what they did today. They killed today 500 enemies. Let them do the same thing tomorrow. Sachashver says, whatever you want. And they gave an edict in Shushan. And on Shushan the next day, they killed another 300. Good question. They spent an entire day murdering enemies in Shushan. So what does Esther come up with? Right? Esther says, whatever you want. Esther says, we want to do it again. Esther, you just spent the entire day killing people. That's what you want? Well, they're dead already. Why did Esther ask to kill more people in the same place? And the pasuk says, Achashverosh said, you want to do it again? Do it again. But Esther was so cruel, it was such an achzar, that she purposely requested to kill again people in the same place? What's going on over here? So a few different historical points that we have to look into. And that is, where was Shushan? And what is Shushan Habira? There's a very interesting pasuk in Daniel. Sefer Daniel in Perek Ches, pasuk Beis. Look at number 17. For Era b'chazon, Daniel says, I saw in a vision, Vayihi b'roisi, and I saw it, Va'ani b'shushan Habira. And I was in Shushan Habira. Hersta Maisa, Daniel was in Shushan Habira. Ba'asher be'elam, which was in the capital, Hamadina. Va'era b'chazon, and I saw in a vision, Va'ani ha'yisi al Uval Ulai. And I was standing on Uval Ulai. What in the world is Uval Ulai? Pasuk and Daniel. Maybe you didn't get up to there yet. You're probably still up to Perek Zion, right? What is Uval Ulai? So Rav Sadia Goin says, Uval Ulai is the door of a building. Daniel is saying he was standing at the door, Uval, the gate, Ulai, of a building. But says Rav Sadia Goin, V'yesh Oimrim, Nahar Chazak, it was a strong river. Uval River Ulai, the River Ulai, the Ulai River, the well-known Ulai River, in the middle of Persia, right? We have any Persians here? In Shushan Habira, are you personally familiar with the Uval River? No. Well, neither is Rav Sadia Goin, because Rav Sadia Goin says this pshat is wrong. Uvadaiti ain't okay, my opinion is not true. Lefisha b'Shushan Habira ain't banar. There ain't no rivers in Shushan. It's a well-known song. Ain't no rivers in Shushan, right? There are no rivers in Shushan. Comes Rashi. Rashi says, Al Uval Ulai, Al Hanor Sheshmo Uval. On the river called Ulai. Excuse me. Al Hanor Shekara Sheshmo Ulai. Now, look. I've learned in yeshiva many years. I learned many machloikas in. I never had a machloikas mishainim. Was there a river in the city or was there not? What kind of machloikas is that? We have machloikas, Rav Sadia Goin and Rashi. Rav Sadia Goin says there's no river in Shushan Habira. Rashi says, yeah, that was the river Ulai. Kind of talk about your in yeshiva, they say you can't have machloikas in Metzias. So was there a river, was there no river? Let me tell you a little story. A number of years ago, this is a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Nachum Kashar. Hope I don't get in trouble now. Who is a very big scholar associated with Ger Chasidus. And he found in an ancient manuscript, when on the Chumash Megillus and on Sefer Eiv, something called the Dream of Mordechai. Anyone here ever hear of the Dream of Mordechai? I never heard of the Dream of Mordechai. It's not brought down in the Gemara, it's not brought down in any of the Midrashim or in any of the Targums. But in an ancient manuscript of Megillas Esther, in behind Targum Sheni, there's something called the Dream of Mordechai. And we have it here on the sheet. The only place this is printed is in the Sefer Torah Shlema on Megillas Esther. Rav Kasha wrote on Tanakh, on Chumash, something called Torah Shlema. And he has here a very unusual graphic dream that Mordechai had. Mordechai's nightmare. Listen to the nightmare. And here, he has it in the original Aramaic. By the way, the dream really appears in Medrash Rabbah as well, number 22. But here we have it in the way it appears in an ancient manuscript. In the second year, and he translates it into Hebrew, we're going to read the Hebrew. In the second year of King Ahasuerus' reign, Mordechai Ayudi has a dream. And in the dream, there's an earthquake, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's the whole world is shaking. And Mordechai, in his dream, he sees two serpent heads. And they're clashing. They're clashing, like, you know, like the helmets that clash, Lahavdil. So the two serpents that are clashing. And Mordechai is frightening. And in between the two serpents are a small nation. And that nation is being threatened to be swallowed up and completely destroyed. Okay? And the world becomes dark and cloudy and raining, and he cries out, Mordechai cries out to Hashem, and the two serpents are fighting with each other, ripping each other's throat out. And all of a sudden Mordechai sees that in between the two serpents a small little river starts streaming between them, and the river gets bigger, the river gets bigger, the river gets bigger, and the sun comes out, and all of a sudden one of the angry serpents dies, and light and sunshine comes to the world. And Mordechai woke up in a cold sweat. That's just my rabbinic editorial edition. It doesn't say he woke up in a cold sweat. And he never told anybody about the dream. And then when Haman made the decree, Vayagid Mordechai le'Esther is kosher karahu, Mordechai tells Esther, you know what? This was the dream I had many years ago. Comes the Rebbe, Rav Yonis and Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, and Rav Yonis and Ibishitz gives us a new understanding of Megillas Esther. And he starts off with the following introduction. An introduction that's not going to make us feel very comfortable, but that's what I'm here for. And that is, there was a story, and the story goes like this. There was some guys on a boat, on a cruise, obviously kosher cruise, obviously. And there's one guy in his cabin, and he's enjoying himself. What he's doing, I don't know. What do you? It's like you're in jail over there. You can't, and it's bad. Not only you have to be on the ship, you have to have chazonos also. I mean, and he's enjoying himself. He's enjoying himself. And there are a bunch of lowlifes on the bottom of the ship, and there's one guy digging a hole in the ship. So they go to the guy, to the upstanding citizen. He said, you know what's going to happen? He said, what do you want from me? You see any holes in my cabin? It's not my problem. Let those guys do whatever they want. Obviously, it's one ship. And if one crazy guy makes a hole, the whole ship's going down. Says Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, same thing in the shul. Most of the people are not talking. 98% of the people, who cares? There's always going to be two guys in the back. Or Kiddush Club, it's inevitable. That's what happens in a shul. Yeah, but it's one shul. And one guy makes a hole, the shul goes down. That's it. You can't tolerate it. So whose problem is? Not the Rav's problem. It's your problem. It's your problem and it's your problem. Why? What do you want from me? That if you don't go over and say, excuse me, you know, this is a shul, really, then when you go up to Shamayim, you're going to be punished for Kiddush Club. You're going to be punished for talking. That's the way it is. Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazen. Nobody has more responsibility than anybody else. That is an important idea, says Rav Yonis and Ibishitz. Kol Yisrael is responsible for each other. Especially, whoever the leaders are, whoever the Talmid Chachamim are, whoever the Gedolim are, they have an achrayus. It's, of course, very comfortable to sit in your Dalet Amos and to lower your eyes and make believe, look, I'm davening nicely, I'm not talking, I'm having kavana. So let them dig a hole in their own neshamas. My neshama is still clean. Says Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, every Jew has to guard and watch out for somebody else. Otherwise, it's their problem. It's their problem. Says Rav Yonis and Ibishitz, let's first establish some historical points. If you look in the Ibn Ezra, go back to number 16. The Ibn Ezra implies that the entire story, Mordechai's hanging out by the palace, he's hanging out by the palace, until Esther calls him and he makes his way to the rest of the people. Says, if you understand, just let me explain something to you. There are two parts of the city. There's Shushan and there's Shushan Habira. Say, what? Yeah. Every capital in the world, whether it's Washington, D.C. or some other capitals, even if it's a capital city, there's a capital district within the city. And in the capital district, you have the palace, or you have the White House, or you have the main building, and all the government officials live in the proximity. And the capital district is usually separated from the rest of the city by something, be it a wall, be it a river, be it some kind of toll collector. That's the reality of the world. Every capital city has a capital district. There's something called Shushan Habira. Shushan Habira is where the king lived. That's where all the officers lived. That's where Haman lived. And Mordechai also lived there. But he was the only Jew who lived there. So Mr. Easton, who came all the way from Queens, said, what's Mordechai doing there? Yechidi. Oh, Mordechai is Yehudi. He's Yechidi. He's the only Jew in Shushan Habira. Why? What would a Jew be doing in Shushan Habira? How would a Jew ever get access to Shushan Habira? What would he be doing in Shushan Habira? But Mordechai, Asher Heglaha, Mirushalayim, Imagoy Lasher Heglaha, Im. He was exiled with royalty, so he was already associated with royalty. He had the royal pass. He ended up in Shushan Habira. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira. There was one lone Jew in Shushan Habira. Ish Yehudi Ish Yechidi is the only Jew in Shushan Habira. All the other Jews were in Shushan. Mordechai is in Shushan Habira. What separates them? A river. But Rav Sadia Gaon says there's no river in Shushan. Avada, there's no river in Shushan. Very often, the palace of the king was separated. This is my own little addition for whatever it's worth.
Remote.
Yeah, remote. You have some body of water. Is it a river? It's not the Mississippi River. It's not the Hudson River. It's a body. It's a stream. By the way, Rashi Masechta Megillah Daf Chav Ches calls Orkama Demaya Shipula Denara. It's a little stream. Rav Sadia Gaon says, I don't see it on the map. Rashi's maskim, it's not on the map. The water in front of the moat of the king, it's not going to be on the map. But there is a geographical barrier between Shushan HaBira and Shushan. And all the Jews were in Shushan, but the tzaddik and the God of Hadar, Vayoshev Mordechai El Shar HaMelech, he lives in the gate of the king. Right. He's right there. He lives in the capital district. Esther says, hey Mordechai, you're a gadol. You can't be by yourself. You're just going to let the rest of the Jews just wither away and fade away and let them do their averos. But shalom aleich nafshi, I'm in my house. It's good. You need to go out and associate with the people. You have to create chevershaft with the people. You need to have relationships with the people. Cross that river. The physical river, the symbolic river, you have to go out and rub shoulders with the people. Otherwise, you'll never be able to elevate them. That's a hard concept. Not easy for every gadol to do. It's very comfortable to be in the Dalet Amos. Esther says, Lech kinoises kol ha-Yehudim. You need to cross the river. And that's what Mordechai does. He crosses the river and he calls out to the Yidden and he's elevating the Yidden and he's mashpia on them. But he needed to cross the river. That's why the Megillah tells us, Vayavar Mordechai, says Shmuel, he crossed Arkuma Demaya. Comes. By the way, you know, in talking about talking, there were two people in the shul. They were talking by laning. The Rav says, "What are you doing? It's laning." He said, "What do you want? Being gavra le gavra, not a problem." Gavra le gavra, yeah. Okay. Anyway, comes Rav Yonatan Eibishitz, and he says, "According to this, yeah, nothing." Comes Rav Yonatan Eibishitz, and he says, "Now we understand the nuance of difference between Shushan and Shushan Habira. Why is that? So we're going to add the following. Rav Reuven Margolius was one of the great Achronim, but he lived in the last century, in 20th century. He's a very interesting Gadol B'Yisrael. He wrote many Svarim, wrote about 55 Svarim. He wrote on Kabbalah, he wrote on Masechta Sanhedrin, Margolius Hayam, he wrote on the Zayar, he wrote on various Gadol B'Yisrael, on the Marshan, the Arachayim HaKadosh. And he writes a very interesting phenomenon. He says, in Golos, the one thing that Jewish people suffer from is Jewish pride. We don't have any Jewish pride. Why is that? Because in the way the world works, is that if we hear something from our Sfarim, let's say we hear some like far out story from the Gemara, we dismiss it. I got it. You have to understand what it means. When you hear something from a guy, he could be a manuvel, a mamzer, everything. Oh, Torah Misinai, the guy said it. See, not me. It says in history also. You read a historical event in the Gemara, I don't know what it means, let's look at here, let's look there. But if you read it in the history of the Jews, Paul Johnson, then Torah Misinai. Really, it shouldn't be that way. It's just we don't have enough self-esteem to trust ourselves and to be pride. He says it's with that in science also, right? Pashat, you know, growing up. Rabbi said, television is not good for you. What do they know? But when the psychologist says that television it creates ADHD, now we believe and now we trust it. The Rabbanim say it? No. Okay. You have an internet asifa, extremism, zealots. Yeah, when psychologists say it destroys the mind, then now we take it seriously. That's how it is. That is that we suffer from that in Golos. We suffer from Jewish pride. We do not give the same credibility to our authentic sources as we do to secular sources. Secular source, it's Torah Misinai. Well, says Rav Reuven Margolis, unfortunately in our century, people began doubting the Purim story. It's a legend. He says, even though, I mean, it's impossible. You have a Gemara Megillah. You have Megillah's Tainis, which was written very close after it happened. You had a Yom Tov that Klal Yisrael was celebrating already. We have record in history of celebrating it immediately after it happened. And Baruch Hashem, in this century, archaeologists dig up the palace of Achashverosh. And you have the palace, and you have the Chatzar Ginas, the Habisan, and you have the Armoin, and you have the river, and you have the rest of the city. And all the various cracks and crevices described in Megillas Esther are confirmed by modern archaeology. Says Rav Reuven Margolis, with this we could explain all 19 psukim in Megillas Esther. When does it say Shushan Abira, and when does it say Shushan? Anytime it's talking about what Achashverosh is doing, an edict he issues, or a proclamation that he gives, or something related to Haman, it's a Shushan Abira. That's where it happened. Anytime it discusses Klal Yisrael doesn't live in Shushan Abira. They live in Shushan proper. They live in Shushan. So going back, look at number 4. Ish Yehudi Haya v'Shushan Abira. It's a chiddush. It's taka novelty that there was a Jew not in Shushan, but in Shushan Abira. Look at number 7. Bayomim ahim kisheva samadja kizma asher Shushan Abira. He's not sitting in Shushan. His throne is in Shushan Abira. And when the party, that party was over, he made a party l'chol ha'am hanimtzim b'shushan Abira. Why nimtzim? Because regular plebeians, they don't live in Shushan Abira. But the ones that happened to have found themselves over there, he made a party for them. And where does he gather the Naroi Basula? Where do he have the beauty contest? For the Yidin and Shushan? It's for him, Shushan Abira. Look at number 10. Haratzim Yatsu Dechuvim Armech Vehados Nitna. Where was the edict issued? Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira. But Vehamel Vehamayashuas Nois. Vehayir Shushan. Shushan Avaycha. Klal Yisrael was confounded and confused. So the edict was issued in Shushan Abira. But Klal Yisrael was Navaycha and Shushan. Or in number 13, when the good news came out, Vehados Nitna, where was the edict issued? Shushan Abira. But Vehayir Shushan, Tzala V'Samecha. Beautiful. So comes the Sefer, Sifsei Chachamim, and Rav Reuven Margolis says this as well. And he says the following. If you look at the end of the Megillah, look at number 14. Achashverosh gives permission to the Jews in Shushan Abira to kill their enemies. Over Shushan Abira, Hargu HaYehudim V'Yabed, Chamesh Me'osish, and the Aseres B'nei Haman. So where are they killing their enemies? In Shushan Abira. Look in Pasuk Yudbeis. Vayomer HaMelech Esther. In Shushan Abira they killed 500 and the 10 sons of Haman. Well, what else would you like, Esther? Pasuk Yud Gimel. So Esther says, listen carefully. Im Al HaMelech, you know, saying Gam Achar, that the Jews killed their enemies in Shushan Abira on the 13th. Let's kill the enemies in Shushan on the 14th. Says Rav Reuven Margolis, Shushan was like a hornet's nest of those nasty Amalekim, Haman and his chevra. So the first place they went in is into Kabul, into the Taliban over there in the palace. That's where all of Haman's cohorts were. So they killed 500 chevra in Shushan Abira. So Esther says, do us a favor. We still have a few chevra in our neck of the woods in Shushan. So Esther says, you know, we'll give you another day. Not in Shushan Abira, in Shushan. And tack on the next day, they killed 300 more Amalekim, not in Shushan Abira, but in Shushan, says Rav Reuven Margolis, as well as the Sifsei Chachamim. So one last thing, says the Sifsei Chachamim. Now we understand the Manda Omar that says that where do you lay in the Megillah? From Ish Yehudi. And where did he get it from? Because it says right down, it's called Toikef. And from this Pasuk, we're supposed to see the Toikef of Mordechai. How in the Pasuk, Ish Yehudi, Haya, B'Shushan Abira, do you see the Toikef of Mordechai? The answer is you see his greatness. He's the only Yidola who's in Shushan Abira. Ish Yehudi, Haya, B'Shushan Abira. All the other Yidin were in Shushan. But here you have one man with royal blood who even from the moment of his exile always lives Bashar HaMelech. Okay. One interesting thing of note is that even though Mordechai crossed that river, But at the end of the Megillah, Vayoshev Mordechai al Shar HaMelech, he went back to the Shar HaMelech. What do you mean? What happened to Esther's Musar Shmuz? Associate with the people. You have to be involved. You have to be friendly. Apparently, La Kolzman Vais. It's not clear when yes and when not. Apparently, Mordechai felt, for the purpose of elevating them, being mashpi on them, a certain type of association was needed. And then after that, he retreats back. So what do you see from here? There is a very fine balance that Mordechai had to make between when it was appropriate to associate and to be close, and when it was appropriate to withdraw. And that's, there are many different shitas, and what role, you know, let's say certain opinions are. The Rebbe has a certain kavod that he maintains, and a certain dignity, and a certain separation. And others are more into the interaction. But there is certainly a balance, and it's a very thin balance, and a very hard balance to manage. And apparently Esther instructed Mordechai to cross that river, but then he retreated and he retracted. Something to think about. One last pshat, a beautiful pshat, in the river that Mordechai crossed. Vayavor Mordechai, Mordechai crossed the river. Let's take a look, number 25. One of the most important perushim, if not the most important perush, Amigos Esther, the Manos Halevi, Rav Shloima Alkabetz. Shloima Alkabetz, the author of Chadoidi, he was a contemporary of the Arizal, and he wrote the classic work Amigos Esther, Manos Halevi, which, by the way, he sent as a Shalach Manos to, I believe, his brother-in-law. And Rav Shloima Alkabetz asked, Mordechai crossed the river? Who cares? I mean, he's going to the Jews. Did he also step over a rock? I mean, that's... Why is the Megillah mentioning it? Says the Manos Halevi. Who cares? The Ribbono Shel Olam cares. He was going to do a mitzvah. He didn't just walk. There was a little river he had to cross over. Don't think Hashem forgot about that. When a person's doing a mitzvah, every little energy that he exerts is so chashuv in the eyes of Hashem that Hashem said, no, we have to write this in the Megillah Esther that he crossed the river. We can't overlook it. Yeah, but big deal. Is it really important that he crossed the river? He would have got anywhere. Yeah. That little bit extra effort that he did makes all the difference in the world. Nothing is forgotten. You come to a shir, and it was a little bit harder. The Ribbono Shel Olam writes out, B'sefer HaZikaron, you were extra tired tonight and you came anyway. Any little inconvenience, any little struggle, any little tsar, any little yegiyah you put into any mitzvah is so chashuv in the eyes of Hashem. Every, our Rosh Hashiva always quoted the words of Chavis Havavah. It's very important words. Don't ever forget these words. Chavis Havavah says in the Shar Cheshvan HaNefesh, look at number 26. V'al timat be'enecha shum toiva shetasana. Let it not be little in your eyes any good deed that you do. Afilu b'mila, even one extra word, a beria or a glance, hame'at mimecha rav etzloi, a small thing that you do is very great in the eyes of Hashem. See, tomorrow, you know, I'm going to come 30 seconds earlier to Minyan. See, it's 30 seconds earlier. What's a nafkamina? Think anybody cares? You come 10 seconds early. Hame'at mimecha rav etzloi. The smallest thing that you do is unbelievable in the eyes of Hashem. It's tremendous. Cannot be overlooked. Mordechai crossed over a river. Who cares? The Ribbono Shel Olam cares. He makes a big deal of it. I'll give you a great mashal. Beautiful mashal. Excuse the analogy. Yes, a guy learns twice a week or three times a week, right? You have two people. One guy learns twice and one guy learns. Is there a big difference? The difference is astronomical. Somebody told me there's a certain kind of game. It's called baseball. I heard once upon a time something they play in America. If a player goes 2-for-7, 2-for-7, yeah? What's his batting average? No? Anybody know? Calculator?
250.
Not higher. 280s, yeah? He does that for 20 years. He retires. 10 years later, nobody ever heard of him. If he goes 3-for-7, he's banged 400. Even Honus Wagner only had one season of Forum. He would be the greatest player ever to play the game. What are you doing already? It's just one extra hit in 7 at-bats. Say, what difference? Like, twice a week or 3 times a week? In the real world, it's the difference between mediocrity and all-time greatness. And in Olam Haba, it makes an even bigger difference. Nothing is lost in the eyes of Hashem. Every small maisa that a person does has such earth-shattering ramifications, tremendous ramifications. That's the inyan. Mordechai crossed the river. We can't forget even the smallest exertion that a person does for a mitzvah. And we should all be zoicha to learn all the yamudim of Megillas Esther. And we should have agun chodesh, chodesh, shenepach, miyogan, asimcha, mishenichnas adar, marbim asimcha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.